Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about a chance to die. The title of a biography that I wrote of Amy Carmichael of India. In 1886, Amy Carmichael was 19. This is the story, really, of the making of a missionary, this early part of her life. At the age of 19, she went to a conference in the Lake District of England, a place called Keswick. It was a large missionary conference held in a tent, and she remembers very little of what was actually said there. But in the closing prayer, one of the men used this phrase from Scripture, "Lord, we know that Thou art able to keep us from falling." And those words began to shine for Amy. She was taken to a restaurant for lunch shortly after this meeting, and she said that the mutton chops were very badly cooked. But the thought came, if He is able to keep us from falling, what does it matter about mutton chops? And she wrote the date in her Bible. The measure of her commitment was the relinquishment of everything that seemed to her incompatible with the life of true discipleship. She began then to live for things which are not seen, for the things which are not seen are permanent. The things which are seen are transitory. I would ask you today, for which do you live? The visible or the invisible? She wanted to live a life of true discipleship. All her judgments, all her motives made from God's viewpoint, rather from her own. Now, she was no stick in the mud. She was certainly no plaster saint. She was a very lively girl, as a matter of fact. There's a lot of data that I dug up when I was working on this biography that indicated to me how much fun she must have been to be with. I heard that one man read this biography, and the only comment that he had to make was, "I don't think Amy Carmichael would have been much fun at a party." Well, all I can say, the man must not have read the book very carefully, because she was a fun person. In fact, I talked to a man who had worked with her in India years ago. I met him in Australia. And one of the things he said to me, and I can still hear his Australian accent, which I will not attempt to imitate, he said, "She was the most darling person you would ever want to meet." She was very lively. She entertained her brothers and sisters. She skated. She ice skated. She raised orchids. She helped her brothers and sisters to start a little shop in their house where they sold pencils and blotters and pens. She taught them how to do the bookkeeping and how to make money, and they entertained their friends and relatives with this little shop. Then they had the most charming little family newspaper called Scraps, and I've seen a number of the original copies of Scraps written in beautiful penmanship and calligraphy, with very delicate, very accurate little drawings, some of them Amy's own drawings. There were some oil paintings of Amy's in them. And I thought maybe you'd like to hear just a bit from that family newspaper called Scraps. This paragraph is about that. "The editor saw to it," the editor, of course, was Amy herself, "that there was, in addition to whimsy and humor, plenty to edify. She reported her conversation with a Bible scholar about soul and spirit. She quoted Shakespeare, Dryden, Kingsley, and Coleridge, included a vocabulary study with the etymology of tantalize, burglar, and pecuniary, How many of us would be able to come up with the etymology of burglar just off the top of our heads? Some of her early efforts in poetry appear, ranging from doggerel, such as, "Oh, we are a jolly family, we are, we is, we be, and very wise and careful and exemplary are we," to, "Think truly, and thy thoughts shall be spotless with God's own purity. On every thought bud, let us bear the stamp of truth and love and prayer." In 1887, Amy met Hudson Taylor, founder of the China Inland Mission. She heard him speak and say, among other things, that 4,000 Chinese pass through the gates of death every hour, saviorless. This crushed her. She could not get it out of her mind. 4,000 Chinese passing through the gates of death every hour without having known Jesus Christ. She began to work with the girls that were called Shawlies. These were girls who worked in the mills in the slum sections of Belfast. The reason they were called Shawlies was that they hadn't enough money to buy hats, which all proper ladies wore whenever they went out of the house in those days. These girls were proper, too, but they had money only to cover their heads with shawls. And so they were distinguished by the shawls and got that nickname. The work with the Shawlies grew to such an extent that it became a disturbance in the church where she was using a room for their meetings. The people were upset by all these crude, unorthodox characters coming in and overflowing this huge hall. One day, Amy saw an advertisement in a magazine for an iron building that could be bought with £500. She began to ask God for £500. She got the Shawlies to ask, too. She went to her knees and began to talk to God about this. And it came to her that there really wasn't much point in asking people who don't love God for money to do God's work. And so she began to ask God to provide the money in his own way. One day she was invited to a beautiful old house where there was a charming garden. A butler answered the door. She was ushered into a lovely room where the table was set with a white cloth, shining silver, sunshine. There was a lady like, she said, a white violet. And she wrote down later some principles for receiving money from God. During that meal, the lady said to her that she would like to give the hall. And so this is what Amy wrote. "Now we give to Mrs. So-and-so, who wrote us a begging letter, or Miss So-and-so, who called the other day with a collecting card, and unfortunately we were in and could not get off without giving her something. May there not be some clue to the money mystery in these thoughts, taking as our keynote three sentences not very much believed in nowadays. The silver and gold is mine. Ask, and ye shall receive. My God shall supply all your need. One, is the work for which we want the money God's work chosen for us, or our work chosen for him? If the former, will he not see after the money necessary? If the latter, then how can we expect anything better than we have? Two, can we expect a blessing to follow money given grudgingly? Three, should we not see that our root is right before expecting flowers and fruit?" These principles, discovered when Amy was alone with her Bible and her God, were written down only for a small circle of readers of Scraps, the little family magazine. But the principles were never laid aside. Years later, their influence was felt by thousands. One day, she was traveling in a cart with a man named Mr. Robert Wilson. They passed a stonebreaker along the road, hammering stones, breaking them up for a road bed. Mr. Wilson drew up the gig and turned to Amy And he said, "Thee must never say," Mr. Wilson was a Quaker, "thee must never say, thee must never even let thyself think, I won that soul for Christ." Which blow breaks the stone? Is it the first blow, or the last, or everyone in between? It's all of them. Thee must never say, I won that soul for Christ. A little bit later, January 13th, 1892, the words, "Go ye," came to Amy Carmichael like a categorical imperative. God was putting his finger on her and saying, "You, it's you that I want to go into all the world." But how was she to go? She had entered into a close relationship with this old Mr. Wilson. She became almost like a daughter to him, and she lived in his home as a helper and a companion and a friend. Her mother had given her consent to this old man who was a sorrowing widower. How could she leave the dear old man? She went through agonies. In my next talk, I'm going to read her letter to her mother that deals with some of the agonies of parting.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.